This Week in Survivor is sponsored by Bet Online. With currently no NBA, no NHL, no MLB, you might think that there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, Bet Online, still has hundreds of sports, events, and games to wager on, or let them bring Vegas to you. With their online casino and blackjack, they're open 24 hours a day and all online, including their $750,000 poker series. If you're into props and entertainment betting, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, even the weather. Visit the website or your mobile device and join today to receive a 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online wagering solution. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, Bet Online. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure you use that promo code PODCAST1 for your 100% sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your 100% sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yes, that's right. This week in Survivor. Thank you, Will from America. We are back once again to talk about everything that's happening here at the Merge. And then here with me to chat about it all, he just got done from an exciting Friday night of playing Sequester. Here he is, the great Jordan Kalish.
How's it going, Rob? I am back, returning once again.
Yes, okay, here he is, back again. And we are very lucky to have back with us on This Week in Survivor. So excited to get her takes about everything that's going on. Please welcome the co-host of our Bachelor Rehap-Up show, the great Haley Strong is here, everybody. Haley, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited to be here. You know, as we talked about last time I was on this podcast, I had never gotten the call, which I was pretty upset about, heartbroken even. And so I'm excited to get like a back-to-back season call. I'm really excited to be here. I can't wait to fail miserably on this quiz again. You know, it's all going to be fun and exciting.
No,
for it's everyone here.
This was owed. I mean, and I think we covered it last time. It was a complete mistake on my part where I thought you had at one point said you weren't interested. I don't remember who it was that I got you mixed up with, but it was somebody who gave me that answer. And yes, you should be a multi-time guest on Twitch. So here you are. We're making it happen. We're getting even now. We're not even yet, but I think maybe one more time after this will be even.
I'd say three or four more times at least.
That's fair.
But I've got nothing but time these days.
Okay.
So I'd say 30 seconds after Jordan messaged me asking if I wanted to be on this week, I said yes. I'm like, I don't care when or what time. I am there with bells on.
Yes. Haley, so tell us, how's everything going on your end?
Listen, things are like, generally comparatively,
right,
it's gonna be fine for me. But I work in events and I work in hospitality, two things that are like not really happening right now. And as some of you may know, I work a lot in the summer. Like I'm working like 60, 65 hours a week plus Bachelor podcast. So that's really crazy for me. So right now, this time where I'm not doing anything has been weird. Transition for me. So I'm just trying to look at it as, hey, take this time to, you know, chill out for a bit, because I don't have the opportunity often. And, you know, looking at the situation I am in, I am very lucky. And I am trying to just hold on to that and be fine with it. Because we're all in the same boat. That's the thing. It's not like it's just happening to me. It's like everyone across the board is dealing with this really weird thing going on.
Mm-hmm. How have you been passing the time at your house?
I downloaded The Sims.
Yes.
So I've been playing that a lot.
Wait, have you been Twitch streaming it?
No, I was worried that Kirsten would be mad that I'm like infringing on her territory.
Yes.
And I also don't know how to use Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I've been doing that.
Haley, can you give us some updates from your Sims world? What's been going on there?
Gosh. So I made a me.
Yes.
And then I made an Ethan, my boyfriend Ethan. And then so obviously we fell in love in a sense and have a nice house where we're millionaires.
Nice.
Because I did the cheat code. Duh. And then in another story, I went into this one house and that, it was like a preset family. And then I made them hate each other and break up. And then the one guy's thing was being a serial romantic. So I made him make out with everyone in the neighborhood and he knocked somebody up.
This sounds like The Bachelor, Haley.
I mean, yeah, once you watch that much BS, like it messes with your head.
Mm-hmm.
So then so he got her knocked up while he was married to that person. So then he divorced her, married this person, cheated on his new wife with somebody else. So then while she had the baby and then they broke up. And then he moved in with the person he cheated on his second wife with, but then he cheated on her with somebody else. So then they broke up.
Yeah.
And then I moved the guy in with his first ex-wife and they're not happy.
Okay. See, I might have to tune into this Twitch stream if it was out there. It's a lot of drama.
I just recently made another one of two roommates who are just like, one's a violinist and the other is like a chef. So that's normal. But I wanted to get a little hectic, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, there is nothing but drama going on here at the Survivor Merge with so many people trying to get along that nobody is having as many problems as the Sims person who married every woman in the neighborhood. But it's still
that
hectic.
That sounds insane, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting. Sounds like, you know. It seems like a TLC show at the very least.
It seems like a TLC show.
There you go.
You're all weak, folks.
Yeah. Haley, it was the merge. I wanted to know, did you pay any particular attention to the merge feast?
Oh my gosh, I didn't. I didn't as much. I did love that it looked like the Last Supper painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to get a screenshot of it so I could put it on Twitter, but it just didn't work out, so I gave up on this pretty quick. I believe there was some bread.
Yeah, it looked like to me, and Haley, I refer to you because you are our resident, snack chat expert what Survivor snacks. It looked like it was, just like a lot of fruit and like some bread. Mm-hmm. It didn't look like it was a meal.
I mean, anything would be great at that point. I think bread for me is something I would
bread
really
fruit. Oh, see
there.
What they did to Jordan? It was for Yule.
It was for Yule. We couldn't get Yule coming back into the game, so we got him at the merge feast. That makes sense.
Yes.
I wonder if they care a lot about everyone's digestive tracts this season. Like they're paying these people more money than usual to be there, so they want to take care of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I do take some issue when it's like really. Like meat heavy meals or anytime there's a coffee challenge, I'm like suspect mm-hmm. about what that's doing to people's insides, or maybe I just have like a really weak stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that the survivors, they're so lethargic that they long for the coffee, but it probably has some unintended side effects for the players. But it did not look like a very filling merge feast.
There like charcuterie? Like that's an interesting choice.
Yeah, I thought so.
He's been sweaty in the heat.
Yeah. Well, what would you think about the Top Chef host panel? What would they rate that merge feast?
Out of what? What's my scale? Like out of 10, out of 50, or out of 100, out of like a cheese plate?
Yeah, whatever you would want to rate.
I think they would rate it at least a solid 10 out of 10, because I think it's a consensus among the 6 to 7 of us, I believe, on the Top Chef podcast, that we just love food in general, and if it's in front of us, we're happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think any of us would be very happy to have just like a spread of food in front of us, regardless of what it is.
Okay.
And how long it's been in the sun. I don't know. I'll have to ask Josh, like, because he's been there, so he knows the heat level and what it does, and Mike, what it does to food and the issues
and fruit
that come along with that.
Okay. I think when you're that hungry, though, like I think you want just like the most variety of a spread that you could possibly have, even if the food is kind of disgusting and like the cheese is melting. I feel like I would just be craving like meat, cheese, desserts, even if it would be horrible for my stomach later. I think that's what I'd want if I was on the show.
I'm craving it now that we're talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Me too, actually. And I just had pasta.
It's been really tough not going to the grocery store every day, because that's something we enjoy doing.
Why? Do you normally go to the grocery store every day?
Not every day, but I'd say probably 3 or 4 times a week.
Three or four times a week.
Oh, what do you want for dinner? Like, I don't know. Like, why don't you go to the grocery store and look? Or, gosh darn it, I want cupcakes. Well, let's head on to the grocery store and get some.
Mm-hmm.
I have been cooking like crazy lately, and I've always loved to cook, and I feel like I'm sort of like honing it into more of a craft and making dishes that I don't normally make.
So yes, that's been, like cold sesame noodles.
Cold sesame noodles.
That sounds delicious.
I made a calamari etouffee. I've been going nuts.
Yes. Okay. Well.
Yeah. You can follow my cooking adventures along on my Instagram at @hstrong_.
I'm down. I'll follow your Instagram.
Haley, after Top Chef All Stars wraps up, that could the Top Chef podcast hosts get together and rate what Jordan Kalish is doing in his kitchen?
I don't see why not. Jordan, if you just send it to us, we can rate it each week. We'll pass it around the table.
Let's do it. I think I think Buffalo Wings are next on the docket.
Okay. Now, Haley, I watched the episode again before we recorded today, and I wanted to ask you that there's a point in the episode where there's a lot of talk about Nick Wilson. Nick Wilson, and Ben says, well, he has a good social game, but he just sneaks into everybody's conversation all the time. And we had that really funny montage of Nick Wills, like people having conversations and Nick just like sidling up into different conversations that people are having. Haley, is that a classic bachelor move for like the...
Can I steal you for a second?
Yeah. Night one, that the woman that's trying, that she's on the outs and she's trying to like weasel her way into every other conversation the bachelor is having.
That's hilarious. Yes. Hopefully Nick didn't steal anyone else's champagne this season though.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been bad.
Yeah. Especially if they've been saving it for their whole lives.
Can you imagine a nice, warm, sparkling wine out on the beach?
Well, they did have rum at the merch feast.
Yeah, rum will stay okay.
Yeah.
Sparkling wine, I do not trust to stay okay out in the sun.
Haley, based on what you've seen on The Bachelor and Bachelorette, what's the right way for Nick Wilson to get into these conversations that he's not in?
Maybe the Andy Heron strategy, where it's like you leave one of your things around the camp and then it's more natural. I'll be like, oh, like I just need my thing.
I left my fire token over there. I'm just gonna.
Like one of my socks is over here. Like I'm just grabbing it. It's chill. No big deal.
Yeah.
Or, what's another way? They have so much more alcohol on The Bachelor than on Survivor, so it makes it a lot easier. Oh, you want a drink? I've got a drink. Maybe they can be like, you want some hot boiled water so you don't get worms?
Yeah, maybe. Enjoy. Should Nick come back from the well and say, hey, I got water for everybody. Okay. And then start handing out the thermoses to everybody?
Or like, oh, I just found this bunch of coconuts, like a coconut, everyone. Like, oh, love coconut. Like, oh, great.
Yes.
The thing is, if Nick is going off on himself, and he's not in all these conversations, even if it's coming off as a little awkward, couldn't we potentially be criticizing him for not being in the conversations and not getting the information he needs? If he goes off by himself, it could turn into like an Adam and Denise situation from episode one.
Well, and I don't think anybody's saying that he should just go disappear in the woods.
Yeah, but I think that we don't really see multiple people complaining about it. I don't know if it was such a big deal or if they were just trying to make him look like one of the options to get voted out in the episode. Mm-hmm. And really, maybe it was just, who was it, Ben, who gave that confessional?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was Ben who had an issue.
Everyone this season. Like, he doesn't want anyone around him at any time. Like, I felt there's been a couple times where I've been really cringing at the way Ben has reacted to people. He's like, there was a point, this episode or last episode, I can't remember, where Adam was like trying to like sit near him and Ben was like physically like trying to get away from him. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah, Adam was trying to ask him the plan. And then Ben was like, I don't know, Adam. I don't know. And he like kind of like, brushed him off.
I don't know. Like, what am I? Do I look like a plan guy?
Haley, this was something that I was talking about on the podcast that I did with Malcolm. If people have not checked that one out, that was a very fun conversation with Malcolm. I talked to him live on Sunday afternoon. Where is the Ben and Adam situation going? That you're an expert in conflict management. You've seen all these people fighting on The Sims, relationships broken up.
I made them fight on The Sims.
Yes. That, how, do you see any resolution for Ben and Adam moving forward?
I feel like for Adam, Ben is a lost cause and a loose cannon. So I just don't think there's any point in repairing that relationship at all. I don't think they should be on bad terms by any means, but Adam just isn't getting what he needs from Ben. And if he keeps trying and keeps digging, I feel like Ben will really turn on him and start saying his name to other people. And that's not what I want for Adam. I want Adam to have a long, wonderful life in Survivor. I just think that Ben, once he thinks he knows something about somebody, he really holds on to that. And so he's held on to this thing about Adam that he's like sketchy or he's not to be trusted. So I don't think Ben's opinion of Adam is ever going to change. So I just don't think there's any point in continuing that path. I think Adam could make some other stuff work with people who don't seem as bewildered by the whole game. Mm-hmm. And I find Ben to be completely bewildered by what's happening.
Yeah, I just really feel like that. It seems like that Adam is on the bottom and Ben is like, well, I don't want to associate myself with Adam because he's on the bottom. And so now I have to like distance myself from him as much as possible. What do you think of that, Jordan?
I think it's a valid point. I mean, if you start to be the person who's around the guy who everyone is potentially trying to get out or at least talking about voting out, you could be dragged into that bad situation as well. But I also think it isn't necessarily a great strategy, because here we have an episode where, yes, Adam's name did come up. He ended up only being voted on by the minority of Michelle, Nick, and Wendell. I kind of think that if Ben wants to win this game, he needs to bring someone like Adam in. And I think he has to do it. He should do it in a subtle way. I'm not saying he should be constantly talking to Adam, but I feel like if he could have Adam as a vote, it's not going to work out so well for Ben if he's trying to get to the end of the game with the Tonys and the Kim Spradlins people like Sophie. Like, he's not going to win against these people, at least based on what we've seen on the show. So I think if he's able to, you know, if he's able to build a relationship with Adam that other people don't see, but he's not like shunning him in front of the rest of the group, I think that could be a good strategy for him.
Okay.
Could Ben win, though? I have a hard time seeing a path for him.
I don't know, but I think if he's trying to get to the end with the so-called Lions, like, it's not going to work out well.
Well, at least that's a plan. What's the other alternative?
I think right now he should keep all of his options open. Like, I mean, I'm not against him working with those guys. Like, he should be working with whoever wants to keep him in the game at this point. But I just don't see why alienating another player is a good strategy, even if you're about to vote them out.
Okay. Haley, do you have a particular favorite player from the people that are left in the season?
Yes. Kim Spradlin has been my favorite player for a very long time. I love Kim. My prayers would be answered if Kim, Sophie, and Michelle had an alliance together. That would make me the happiest clam in the ocean.
Mm-hmm. So Michelle is not in that group so far. So she doesn't have any connections with Kim and Sophie. The closest I guess she has is
a
with
a girl can dream, Robert.
Yeah, is with Denise. Is it possible that we could see? And I've called them the middle school women of Sophie, Kim, Sarah, and Denise. Could they ultimately link up with Michelle and have five women strong? Not Haley strong.
I don't know. I would love for that to happen, but I think Sophie's pretty happy with what she has going on, and I don't know if she wants to bring more people in. Mm-hmm. Sophie does feel like the ringleader and all of that. Michelle, gosh, I don't know what Michelle's up to. I'm looking forward to seeing what she's doing, because she obviously did a great job at protecting herself in the last two Tribals?
Yes.
God, that would be great, but I just don't totally see it happening.
Haley, what did you make of the Wendell and Michelle drama?
Oh, I loved it so much. Obviously, they're both super hot. If I my Sims game, I would absolutely have them married.
Yes, could you make a new Sims game
lives.
With Wendell and Michelle?
I would love to, but I would feel just the scoochest bit creepy for doing that.
Yes. Okay. Well, okay, well, hold that thought. We'll come back to Wendell and Michelle. What I will say is that Wendell came out of the game this week and he had two fire tokens. First fire token was Michelle. Okay, Haley, can we read anything into that based on your knowledge of the Bachelor and Bachelorette? Does the first, Nick got the second fire token. Does the order of fire token distribution mean anything? Is Michelle mean more to Wendell than Nick?
I would say Michelle was first because he had a fire token debt to Michelle. Like, Michelle gave him one of hers that Parvati gave her. So I think he was just giving it back. Although I do think if it didn't even come from her, it would have been her anyway. Michelle first over Nick. I don't know, probably because he has made out with Michelle and he probably hasn't made out with Nick. So, like, yeah, you give her the fire token first.
Yeah.
Michelle comes first in the alphabet before Nick. Yeah. Maybe her box is closer. Please don't read into that.
Okay. Just to go back to Adam and Ben, that I pulled a clip from the episode that this was Adam in his confessional talking about how he was very unhappy with Ben. Here's Adam.
And then I go to Ben and he says, "I don't know what it is." Like, dude.
He was he's very upset with Ben.
I would have had a similar reaction, I do believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do love Adam's Ben impression.
I don't know what it is.
That's my Ethan impression when I try and mock.
That was his reaction to the scene that we were talking about earlier when Ben brushed him off when Adam was trying to ask him about the plan. But at least when Adam is talking crap about Ben, he's doing it in his confessionals away from people. Ben is literally alienating somebody who he could potentially be working with. So I think if you're looking at those two scenes in terms of gameplay, am I saying that Adam is in a great spot right now? No, he's in a spot that where he could have been the person voted out. But at least he's keeping his feelings about people to his confessionals.
Yeah, I think that Ben just doesn't want to get caught in the crossfire. He doesn't want to tell he knows Adam's on the block. Doesn't want to tell Adam anything. Doesn't want Adam to go back and tell, because he knows that Adam is going to talk to everybody. And so Ben's like, "I'm giving you nothing because I don't want you going back and telling this person." Oh, I heard Ben say that. So he's just giving him nothing and just like trying to get him to go away. So unfortunately, he's being too standoffish with poor Adam, because we know that Ben was in a lot of conversations talking about who was going to go home. Was it going to be Wendell? Was it going to be Adam? And I wonder, Haley, does Ben strike you as somebody who would be using a lot of wordplay?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. That you be the jury, the judge and jury on this. Here is Ben talking to Jeremy about the plan and who they were going to vote out.
Let's just vote for Adam. When you keep letting people like Adam skate around.
Yeah.
Like, that's when he bites you in the end.
If you're that adamant.
Oh, wow. Said, if you're that adamant.
Well done. Well done, Ben.
Do you think that is Ben being intentional with that, with Jeremy, Jordan?
No, I don't think so. I think it was a fortunate coincidence that we got that clip.
If you keep wanting to vote out Adam, then you're adamant.
If Sophie said it, then maybe I would think it was intentional. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That Jeremy also talked about something with Ben when Ben said the plan was going to be to vote out Wendell. Jeremy really didn't like this plan. I was laughing about this. Kirsten talked about this with Mike and Liana on the B&B, but this is what Jeremy says about why they shouldn't go after Wendell.
Like, if Wendell's here, he's another shield for us. That's our thing.
I know. It is our thing.
That Haley, I love the idea that Jeremy is reminding Ben of their thing. That's our thing, keeping guys around. Hey, don't you remember? That's so us.
It's adorable.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that was not Ben's strategy at all his first time out. I mean, the reason that Ben survived was, and again, I don't want it to sound like I'm really like taking anything away from him, because it was impressive that he was able to win those challenges and he found a bunch of idols and he had the final four twist. That's how he won. But the reason why Ben became such a big target is that there really weren't too many threats ahead of him. And I think everyone was going after him because he was the next guy who was on the pecking order. It was definitely Jeremy's strategy in Cambodia. And I think it's also somebody like Adam's strategy. But I love what Jeremy's doing here is he's kind of building unity between him and Ben. And I'm sure he's having this conversation with a lot of people that are the so-called threats or targets or lions, whatever. And I feel like Jeremy, even though he did lose Wendell here, which wasn't great for him, the fact that he was able to get on board with this plan without putting up putting up too much of his think, I think it shows his adaptability and it shows that he is willing to be flexible and kind of work with whoever he needs to get further in the game.
Jordan, in the way that Jeremy described to Ben about how keeping the guys around, that's our thing. What's our thing? Me and you,
our
Jordan.
Thing,
yeah.
Me and you. I would say failed final six vote splits is our thing. I would say me writing questions and you complaining about them is one of
that's
our things.
Our thing. That's our thing.
We have you periscoping me in Reno is one of our things. There's a lot of things that go on, Rob.
Rob, what would our thing be?
I don't know, Haley. What do you think? Can we have a thing?
Sure. I mean, I guess so.
Can we have a thing?
I don't know. Like, I feel like I've been around for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. Do we have a thing?
Love of David Wright.
Yeah, that's fair.
The baseball player.
Want me to get my plush doll out of my closet?
Yeah, it's one of our things. But I think that learning about what's going on in your Sims world, I think that that's going to be
you want like a weekly email or something.
Yes, and not to imply that your Sims world is more interesting than Kirsten McInnes's Sims world. I don't know what's going on in her world. Maybe it's better.
Now, can you combine worlds? Can you, like...
I don't know. I was just wondering that. Like,
go into her town or whatever?
That would be great. I think Kirsten and I would love that a lot.
Okay. I want to go back to something that Sophie talked about at Tribal Council this week, Haley. Sophie talked about how she learned that you don't have to be in every conversation. And apparently, she learned this at a young age. Maybe Adam could take some advice from Sophie.
I mean, in my head, I turn into a 12-year-old girl in high school who wants to follow every single group.
Okay. People were talking about this. Sophie called herself a 12-year-old girl in high school who wants to follow every single group. Did Sophie misspeak, or was Sophie describing a 12-year-old girl who goes to a high school and is surrounded by older, cooler kids that seem so mature that the 12-year-old girl is just following the older kids around the high school?
I think she was kind of just like being hyperbolic. She was like, I was like 9 and a half in university and like, I just wanted to be cool. Like, I don't think she was actually 12 in high school, but maybe, and just maybe.
Yes.
We have a couple high schools around here. Mm-hmm. The French high schools and the French Catholic high schools, they have grade 7 through 12. So you could theoretically be a 12-year-old at a high school in here.
Okay. All right.
So maybe she like went to a French high school in Canada.
Perhaps.
She's like from upstate New York. There might be some small towns where they just lumped everyone together.
Quickly from upstate New York to Canada. I think that checks out. That's totally what happened.
By the way, Haley, I do have some breaking news that maybe Kirsten McInnes has a more interesting Sims world than even you have.
Again, Kirsten, can we join worlds?
At least Kirsten McInnes is you can watch on her Twitch stream.
Yeah.
Follow what's going on there. Okay. All right. Then a couple other things before we start to look at social media. Tyson got back into the game, Haley. Were you excited for that outcome or did you want somebody else?
No, I was very excited. I think I would have been pretty happy with most people who got voted in, who won their way back in.
Yes.
I think Tyson had a great chance to win back in. And I also think he probably, out of anyone, would have done the most with his opportunity to be back in the game. The evolution of Tyson has been really fun and wonderful and heartwarming to watch. You know, we saw him in Token Teens and Heroes vs. Villains as this kind of like young punk guy who didn't take anything seriously. And then in Blood vs. Water, we saw him with Rachel. We saw a completely different side of him that really made him a well-rounded character that made him easier to root for. And so seeing him here as a father is really cool, and like how much he loves his daughters and his family and how he's fighting for them in this instance. But last time he fought for Rachel, I was really happy to see him back in, and I think he can do really well with this. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be the number one target. I love that they were saying, yeah, like, well, Tyson got voted out that time because that's who he like had to go in that moment. But now the dynamics have switched and he doesn't need to go now.
So Tyson got back into the game. As you mentioned, he had this, this growth that was talked about by Jeff Probst. I did love the way that Tyson was responding to some of the observations that Jeff was making about him. Here's Tyson and Jeff chatting on the mat before the Edge of Extinction Challenge.
Tyson, you're known for having a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
You can find a joke in the darkest times.
Right.
I just love the and Tyson, you are a great player, and you've been back here to play again and demonstrate how good you are at the game. I really just love Tyson's responses, Jordan.
No, I think it was very like classic Tyson of him, you know, him kind of talking about how you know, how great he is when Jeff is, you know, complimenting him. But it really turns into him showing his humble side and talking about his family and his kids.
Yeah, there was
kids.
A turn.
Yeah, so it went from classic Tyson to then also a Tyson that we have seen on Blood versus Water when he was crying about Rachel. So we did really get to see, just in a, you know, 30-second period, the two sides of Tyson, which was awesome. And when, you were talking about before about, like, who someone I'd want to see back in the game. Tyson was definitely near the top of my list. I mean, obviously I wasn't subtle about the fact that I really wanted Yule to be in this game for longer. He would have been great, but I didn't really think that Yule or Ethan had that much of a shot to get back in, partly based on the edit, partly based on the fact that they didn't really have any advantages. The one I really would have loved to see was Natalie Anderson, because we have seen so much Tyson on Survivor, and it's great. I love every time Tyson's on my screen. For Natalie Anderson, she played a great, I think, extremely underrated game in San Juan del Sur. And she went so early here. We only got one episode of her, partly because of the fact that she and Jeremy were on the same tribe and she was targeted because of that. So it's I'm hoping, like, I'm not a huge EOE guy, but I'm hoping we do get to see more of her. I feel like it's been a while since we've seen her a lot on the show. But with Tyson, you know, I think he's actually coming back in a pretty good spot, because he got voted out because of his connections with Rob and then in extension, Amber and all those people. He's there by himself now. I feel like he could play kind of an under the radar game and get further with these people that are trying to keep the threats around.
Haley, what'd you think about Tyson with the jar of peanut butter? Did you have a lot of respect for that move of the fire token for a quart of peanut butter?
I loved it. I thought it was a wonderful idea. I think I would have gone for a bottle of wine, like, as soon as I got a fire token. But I think Tyson had faith that he would be able to find another fire token. Mm. And he's just like, I think he knew it was going to be comedy. And he was like, this is going to be hilarious. I love it. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful television.
It's good TV. All right. One other thing I want to touch on before we get to social media. I really want to just call out Jeremy and Tyson for something that they did in this episode. It seems like that there was some chest hair shaming going on with Wendell in this episode. And I really didn't like that. This was the chest hair shaming of Wendell.
A little hair on your chest, huh? Was that from like this morning?
No, I wasn't there yesterday.
I was definitely not there yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Haley, Wendell seems so upset.
Yes, yes, he did. He does seem like the type of guy who would be upset.
Yeah, he wasn't like, you guys. He's like, yeah, it was there. No, I did not just grow this chest hair today, guys. It's there the whole time, Jordan.
I know. I take a strong stand against any type of chest hair shaving.
You say shaving or shaming?
Shaming.
Shaming. Okay. All right. Okay. So please.
I think I said shaving, but I definitely meant shaming.
Either way, let people live their lives and don't give them a hard time if they do or do not have chest hair. All right, Jeremy and Tyson, please, can we learn from this, everybody? Okay. All right, at least we have a positive message on the podcast this week. All right. So
one more Wendell related point, Rob. Can I make a point here? Because I think we touched on this last week. It was such a big mistake, and we sort of predicted that Nick and Wendell could get themselves in trouble based on the move of voting Yul out last week. And really, if you have Yul in the game here, you don't have Sophie mad at you. Even if they are going after that group, Yule's probably the bigger target. And now the fact that they voted Yul out, I mean, I really don't think that Wendell would have been in too much trouble here if he had still been in the game. I kind of think it would have either been Yul or Adam. So I think it really sort of reared its head here, and I think that's the reason.
I don't disagree. I don't think it was Wendell's call. In my version of the events, from what I understand, I think that Nick talked about he had a pregame alliance with Yul and Michelle. I think that Yul said, hey, great. Oh, this is my pregame alliance. Wendell's getting voted out. Wendell's like, well, I don't want to get voted out. Why is Yul coming after me? Talk to Michelle. Michelle's like, yeah, I'd rather keep you. And then Nick just got on board. I don't think it was Yul. It was Wendell's call to vote out Yul. That was not his first plan, I don't think.
No, but I think it is the reason, though, why...
Yeah, I think he got ultimately blamed for it, but I think that the choices I think were for him to get voted out or to vote Yul out.
Okay, well, I mean, that's for Wendell then that is reasonable. I think then for Nick, who maybe isn't going to be looked at as much of a target anymore now that he doesn't have Wendell with him, he can maybe get past the next part of the game. But if he's voted out here, I mean, he's really going to look at that move. If I had just had Yul, who's a trusted ally, one. And a bigger target ahead of him, that would have definitely been beneficial over Michelle. It's great for Michelle. I mean, Michelle, I don't even think the fact that she voted in the minority here hurts her, because when has voting in the minority ever hurt Michelle?
Yeah, no, Michelle's in a great spot right now. We'll see if she can capitalize on that moving forward. Let's get into what's going on in the world of Survivor social media. Here's the great Jacob Sager Weinstein.
Tweets, baby, tweets, you know I love what they do. You better get ready. Tweets are coming for you. Tweets.
Okay, Haley, we had once again the you better get ready, I'm coming for you, showed up this time, not in the conversation about Wendell and Michelle's relationship, but here during the duel between Rob and Tyson.
I love this weird sound drop. I don't understand what it is. I don't understand its purpose, but I love it. I love it a lot. I don't know why. Is this Sia?
No. It's just some rando. I don't think it's any musical artist. This you was.
Know, it's not like a rando who showed up on the musical date of a bachelor. I've seen a lot of those.
It might
too.
Be. I think that what happened was that one of Jeff Probst's kids, that he was trying to get them involved with producing, and they, I think that they had the idea for this song lyric, and he's like, well, let's use that. Let's put it in the show.
That's a real thing?
I believe so. Tell me if I'm wrong, please. Well, not everybody correct me. Designate one person to correct me on Twitter, and then I'll know the right story.
It was either Puya or Iman. One of them, they were educating us about this either last week or the week before that. So that's what I've heard, and I'm going with it because those guys are smart.
So
that reminds me of something else that happened on The Bachelor. One time, Mike Fleiss, who's like the executive producer, his wife wanted to be a singer, So on one episode of The Bachelor, they had his wife singing Can't Fight the Moonlight, maybe?
Can't Fight the Moonlight? Is that an original?
No, it's the Leanne Rimes song.
Okay.
I think it was that, or maybe it was a different Leanne Rimes song. But I think it was a Leanne Rimes cover. Anyway, so nepotism in songs on TV.
Okay.
Is not
you
after
were
Survivor.
Looking, you were asking me what is our thing. Maybe that song is our thing because we were the two people in the sequester videos who sang it. Do we have a song? I think we have a song, Rob.
Yes. So this is
our song.
That's our song. That's our thing. That song. That song from Survivor.
To be fair, though, I hate it. Every time we hear that stupid song in the middle of the episode, it takes me out of it. I don't know why we're getting songs with lyrics. We also had a different song with lyrics when all the Edge people were getting ready to get back into the game.
Mm-hmm. Why? What song was that? Well,
I don't know what it was, but there were words in it. It really bothered me.
Okay.
Or maybe there weren't words, but it was like not a Survivor song. It was like it was like a some sort of like rock type song that they were just playing in the background. But it and you saw Parvati stretching during it. It was not Survivor music, and it was really annoying. Mm-hmm. Why they got to stay with like the tribal tunes that they've always used. It works.
Haley, can I tell you a Leanne Rimes Survivor aside?
Oh my God, yes.
So when I went to the Survivor Amazon finale back a million years ago, that when I first got back together with my cast, that I received a gift from Heidi Strobel, one of my castmates from Survivor the Amazon. And it was a book that was like the lyrics to the Leanne Rimes song I Hope You Dance, and like every page of the book was like I hope you never lose your sense of wonder, like whatever the next stupid lyric is, and it was like a signed dedicated book of I Hope You Dance from Heidi Strobel.
That might have been the song on The Bachelor, actually, now that you say it.
Yeah. And there was also like a couple of like Heidi's like modeling headshots that were also part
like in this book.
Yeah,
do
in the
you
book.
Still own this?
It's probably somewhere. I don't think I threw it out.
Josh Creek is saying that's Leanne Womack.
Oh, Leanne Womack. Oh, I got my Leanne. Was it Leanne Slaby Jordan?
Yeah, I think that's who it was.
Sorry,
there's
everybody.
A Survivor Leanne. It was Slaby.
Who knew there was two Leannes that sing songs?
Yeah,
I've never heard of Leanne Womack. I've heard Leanne of Leanne Womack.
Did you ever express to her that you love Leanne Rimes and or Leanne Womack or like that song or anything?
No.
Or just that, does she give that to everyone?
I'm not sure.
Josh Creek, is she related to Tony Womack, former second baseman?
I'll look around and see if I have it, but I would just like for years if I stumbled across it, it would crack me up that was like a gift that somebody would think of me and say, here's the I Hope You Dance, even if that song comes on. All right, anyway, so going back to social media, Gabby Pescuzzi, she says, so does that pop song they keep playing on Survivor have only one lyric?
Apparently so.
Yeah. Gordon Holmes had a good one that he commented on Boston Rob's displeasure with the Edge of Extinction. Jeff asked this question to Boston Rob about the Edge.
Is there anything, if you set aside the game, romantic about that?
Not on the Edge, there isn't. It's the worst place I've ever been to.
The worst place he's ever been to, Gordon Holmes tweeted, Rob says the Edge of Extinction is the worst place he's ever been to, and he lives in Florida. Hashtag, just kidding, I love Florida.
So he doesn't have to deal with the black or white no-nos that he had to deal with in Marquesas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There we go. Then let's see. Just Haley, real quick, how many tweets do you think for Alexis Maxwell about this episode?
Eight.
Eight.
Oh, I take the over. I take the over.
13 tweets. 13 Dang. Tweets. Yeah. Okay. Let's see, how about then, T-Bird Cooper had a lot to say about this week's episode of Survivor. T-Bird said, that merch feast will be a great distraction for the Survivor players, as it will be for me during hashtag quarantine life. Now, Haley, was the merch feast something that just distracted T-Bird, or was it she's talking about the Survivor episode itself?
Hard to say with her. I'd say the episode itself.
Mm-hmm.
Does she like often talk about wanting to feast? Like, I feel like it has to be the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so. I think that might be right. Now, in terms of the actual Survivor players themselves, now, earlier this season, we used to get a lot of intel from your boy Yule, Jordan, and they shut that down.
Yeah, I mean, he really was showing a fun side of his personality on both Facebook and on Twitter. So is that something that came from production? Do they not like the fact that that some of the survivors have been so active on social media?
Well, we go to a Facebook post from Denise Stapley, and she says, good morning to all of you wonderful human beings. I just want to let you know how much I appreciate all of you. Strange times, yada, yada, yada. That being said, I've received many private messages and comments on my post, and in the past, I've been able to comment back, respond to private messages, and simply engage on a fairly consistent basis. Unfortunately, as a cast, we've been recently reminded to adhere strictly to the contract that we're under, so please understand that while I am disappointed, as you may also be on some levels, I 100% understand their caution and would not want to take anything away from the epic season that's unfolding. As players were asked to not offer any type of commentary or insight about gameplay or strategy, this includes live tweeting, blogging, Q&A with the fans, and were asked not to respond in detail to any questions that would offer other inside information, insight, or rationale into strategy that viewers would not see on the show. Sadly, this includes the simple questions like, how long were you up there on that pole? If the screen didn't show it, I can't share it. So what that means is I truly can't comment or respond back to many of your messages asking questions about the season. I'm very sorry. Please just know I do read your messages and comments as I post previews, pictures, or other silly tidbits. So that is from Denise Stapley.
Remember the one season where the cast literally was not even allowed to tweet?
It was Survivor San Juan del Sur.
Yeah, they weren't even like allowed to like say they were on Survivor, basically.
Yes, and they had to tweet about how
White Rice Wednesday.
White Rice Wednesday. And then they were like, there was like some show, some new show. Was it like a new Deborah Messing show? And they were just tweeting about that show. I have to look up.
I vaguely remember this. It was like, what show is it? No, you're definitely right.
Yeah, let me see if Deborah Messing 2014.
What a great cast that was. Let's bring everyone from that season back.
Yeah, yes, okay. The Mysteries of Laura, I believe that was the show.
That's right.
They would talk about
Mysteries of Laura Moret
in between Will and Grace stints. Okay, then Tony, of course, he is back on Twitter. Haley, are you excited for Team TV era number two?
Sure. The stance I take for Tony on Twitter, and like a lot of Survivor people, is that the best tweets will find their way into my feed, and like I don't have to actively follow them.
Yeah. He has a rivalry going with Jeremy Collins, a police versus firefighter rivalry happening on Twitter. Haley, are you on board with one particular side in the Collins versus Vlachos feud?
I refuse to get involved in a feud about firemen versus police.
Mm-hmm.
In Tony versus Jeremy, I'll hitched my saddle to Jeremy, I think.
Yes.
Is that the expression?
You hit your saddle? Wagons, I think.
Hitch my wagon.
Yes. Okay.
I love Jeremy.
You could hitch a saddle.
Yeah.
He follows me on Twitter. I follow him on Twitter.
That's nice.
Sometimes he'll like my like funny NBA tweets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about the Raptors or whatever. Okay. Reigning champions for another year, probably.
Probably.
Not a big deal.
Yes. So Tony did have a tweet to Nick after the episode. He posted a picture of Nick and he said, "Hey, at KY Nick Wilson, did you see how I called you a hyena in my confessional? The camera focused directly on you. I gotta say, you're the best looking hyena I ever saw."
Was it the one where he was on the pole, like, at camp.
At camp.
He was making a very hyena-like face also, which was fantastic editing.
Yes. Okay. Haley, are you team lion or team hyena?
What a question.
Mm-hmm.
Lion?
Okay. Now, Haley, this is perfect timing that we have you here because there has been a recent phenomenon on the Insta that people have been noticing. It seems as though that there has been some SpawnCon that we need to talk about, Haley.
Oh boy, I know where this is going.
It looks like that some people over at CBS Publicity have decided to do some SpawnCon with Bachelor contestants to promote watching Survivor. Here is Ari. How do you pronounce Ari's last name?
Leanne Dyke. Now I'm confused.
Leanne Womack.
Leanne Dyke Jr.
Okay.
It's Leanne Dyke.
Okay. He says, "As an old school bachelor, I'm digging the old school players on this season of At Survivor CBS. Don't miss a single minute and tune in every Wednesday at 8/7 on at CBS TV. Hashtag Survivor." And then has another one. "Hooked on this season of Survivor and it's getting so good at CBS TV. Hashtag Survivor. If you haven't watched, catch up on Wednesdays at 8/7 on CBS.
I've got to say, on the surface of this, I find the SpawnCon truly, madly, deeply perplexing.
Yes, yes. In which way?
But when I think about, well, because it's like, why are they getting these two randos? Like, he's not even like a favorite bachelor or anything. Like, he left his fiance for like the second place woman.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Bachelor people do like an insane amount of dumb SpawnCon. So this is like not quite as bad as it could have been, but it's from a completely different network. So like, I was like, that's weird. But then when you think about it, people who follow Ari are obviously into some sort of reality television. So yeah. I think maybe CBS thinks that they're the like Bachelor Nation, which is like huge and growing and whatever, and like so social media based, that that's an untapped market for them. And gosh, there's nothing else on TV. So like, why not watch Survivor? There's a married couple on it. These things work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, maybe is that why they said, "Hey, we've got this Wendell and Michelle storyline. Maybe we should like start to reach out to some of the social media influencers in Bachelor Nation," and they would eat this up.
Like, that's my best guess.
Yes. Yes. Okay. One other tweet that in the Facebook group that we're streaming this, Chris says we should check out Rafe's tweet about the old school Survivors. Rafe Judkins says, "Hashtag Survivor, enough of the old school Survivor players can't keep up. This show is a numbers game and you put 12 new school winners on with 8 old school winners. What did you think would happen? At Parvati, at Ethan, at Danny, at Boston Rob, at Sandra, at Yule, at Tyson."
It's a very good point.
But it never felt that's not to what me happened, like the though. New schoolers were trying to get them out. It's not like Survivor All-Stars where everyone was trying to get the winners out. It was very obvious. Like, I think it's just the way the cookie crumbles in this season. It's like,
yes.
Oh, shoot. All the old schoolers plus Natalie happened to go out first.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think you also look at, I think the big thing, it's more like the Boston Rob connection than the old school thing. I mean, look, you have Boston Rob, Tyson, and Amber who are always going to be linked. You have Danny Boatwright, who is part of this group, who is from Rafe's season, which is a very underrated season. And she made a huge mistake that screwed her whole alliance. And then you had Ethan, who went out and, you know, sort of because he had that that Boston Rob connection, too. Not sort of. Definitely because he had that Boston Rob connection. And he went out because of something that Adam did. So, I mean, it was a lot of, not necessarily random, but a lot of things that led to all these people being voted out that weren't all connected. So I get Rafe's point, but I don't think it was purely a numbers game where at the beginning, all the new school people were like, let's get rid of these old school players. We have to run this game. If not, they're going to run us.
Okay. All right.
But Boston Rob and Tyson are both new school winners. Like, they are not old school winners. I would say that Tyson's game is a completely new school
game.
They
have the old school t-shirt.
I mean, I could probably get that for $29.95 on American.
I may or may not already have one, Haley. Okay. All right.
Oh.
So then let's talk about the results from Rob has a pollster. We have our pollster who tweets out a weekly poll about the episode. Who was this episode's MVP? Haley, what do you think our podcast listeners of who did they vote for this episode's MVP?
Denise?
No, not Denise.
Tyson.
44% said Tyson.
Yeah.
38% said Sophie. Nobody else had over 5%.
When you have someone who's been out of the game, whose torch gets snuffed prematurely, and they heroically get back in, and they get back into the game, and now they have another shot. That person is definitely the MVP.
Yes.
I thought Tyson was going to win this immunity challenge for sure. This is like right up his alley, or used to be up his alley.
Do you think he threw it, Haley?
Probably. You know what? But good call. He probably threw it.
Yeah. Not what Steven said. Okay. So who do you think is most in danger of a blindside this week, Haley?
Coming week?
Yes. There was one. There was one clear winner when we asked the listeners this question.
I probably should have looked at these polls, right? Anyway, Denise again? I don't know, Adam? Denise?
Denise was second, 13%. Jeremy, 34%. Mm. Okay, and then Haley, have you caught up with Tiger King yet?
No.
No,
will
okay.
I? No.
Jordan, how about you?
Do I consume all of the media about it and know exactly what happened? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. I watched it this week.
100% caught up on Tiger King, and I'm looking forward to the new episode that's apparently coming out.
Yes, allegedly. So we asked about that, and especially in light of Josh Wigler talking about a Tiger King brand steal. If Survivor 41 was played entirely by the cast of Tiger King, who is your winner pick? Do you have a take on who that might be?
All just playing a game of Survivor anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, legitimate, like, who can survive this madness?
Yeah, or be on Survivor 41, like, they can vote people out.
Gosh, who do I think would win? I'd say the one who got their arm bit off.
Yes!
They seem like they could handle
that. Was the winner, 31%. Yeah. Good job. Good job there by Haley.
Thank you.
Haley, have you played the FanDuel Survivor Weekly game?
Yes, I have. You didn't think I'd answer yes to that?
No,
I
wouldn't have asked you if I didn't think there was a chance.
Oh. Well, yeah, actually, I have. My brother told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been playing that one and also the challenge one.
Okay. You can play for free over at FanDuel.com/RHAP for your chance to win your share of $2,040 in FanDuel bonus cash. The MVP this week, Haley, if you had to guess, which player racked up the most points in the FanDuel game?
I think it was Tyson, and my brother Jeff actually chose Tyson as his MVP.
Oh,
I think that was a great call on his part.
Great,
I think that was a
great
really
call.
Excellent call.
Tyson was the second best. He had 27.8. Jeremy, 30.4 points. He won individual immunity, won a reward, which was a fire token. Had 1.8 points for each confessional. He had three, and then survived the week. So Jeremy was your best bet. Tyson was second. Denise was third. And then if you had Wendell, it was a real bad week for you. You lost 16.9 points.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun actually playing the FanDuel Survivor. That's not something I really often do, but I think I was really excited to get involved in that.
It's a fun game.
Something new. Yeah. Something fun.
Play for free over at FanDuel.com/RHAP.
Twish.
All right, Jordan. What do you have for us this week?
I have a quiz. I have a couple questions, mm-hmm. 4 multiple choice as always. You guys can either go for 2, you won't be able to hear the options. If you're wrong, your opponent can steal a point. Or if you go for 1, you'll hear the options. Your opponent cannot steal. Then we'll go to a final round where both of you will be able to receive points. Just a reminder to the two of you to hide the live comments so you guys aren't being helped by the fans at home. And the categories that we have today are actually just going to be named after the seasons that they were from. We have Token Jeans, Australian Outback, Fiji, and Heroes versus Villains.
Okay, I'll bite. Why, after 5 years of that, there's always a name for the, like a category name, why this week? Is it just a season?
Well, I could come up with a good answer here, but I am just going to be honest. I only named one of the questions, so I just decided to go with the names of the seasons.
Well, what is the issue? You are pressed for time. You have a lot of other things going on besides this week in Survivor History Quiz.
I have literally nothing else going on. I just, for some reason, did not name the questions this week. So they are now named after the seasons they're from. Does the name of the questions really help all that much? Honestly,
we've had names for the questions for every week. And this week I didn't feel like it.
I mean, it's not that I didn't feel like it. I wanted to. One of these I actually did name, but do you want me to, on the spot, name the questions?
It's fine. As I say all the time, I follow your lead. I'm just trying to keep up with where this thing is going.
What's a bigger deal, the fact that I don't have my audio from the first half of this podcast or the fact that I haven't named the questions?
I think that the fact that it's fine. It's fine. If there are glitches in the podcast that you're listening to, it's because that we don't have Jordan's audio and we weren't able to put everybody's better audio into the show. That's it.
Yeah,
that's it.
Glitches get stitches.
Okay. All right. Haley, do you mind that Jordan couldn't come up with category names for your episode of This Week in Survivor History, the quiz?
Gun to my head, would I have known that Jordan comes up with titles for the questions? May not, my friends. May not.
Okay. All right. So
I'm fine with it. I'm not offended. You know, I'd say I feel better.
Come up with a category name on the fly when we get the question.
I think that's a good idea. So, okay. Haley, temporarily, your 4 categories are Token Jeans, Australian Outback, Fiji, Heroes versus Villains. Which one do you want to go with first?
Heroes versus Villains, my friend.
Okay. So the question is, when Boston Rob was voted out of Heroes versus Villains, he called Coach a little man for not voting for him or Russell and instead casting a rogue vote. Who did Coach throw his vote on at Tribal? So before we name this question, we have to say that this is from the episode I'm Not a Good Villain from April 1st, 2010, 10 years ago Wednesday. So what do you guys want to name this question? What's the category name?
Let's see. Go with
I wish I could name it Coaching Teams, but that would work better for the Token Teams.
Yes.
So bookmark that.
Okay. Yes. Well, I'll use that for a future Token Teams coach question.
Good. So, can we do some sort of a pun on Little Man?
Could do that. Could do Little Man. The little man. I feel like that's something that I definitely could have seen myself naming this question.
Okay.
But Haley, do you want me to read it again? So we'll call it Little Man.
I've got it. I just want to go for it. I want the 2 points, potentially. I don't think I'll get them because I'm just going to go for it. I'm following my heart. I can give the answer now. I'm going to say Danielle.
Danielle is unfortunately incorrect. So Rob, you do have a chance to steal a point here.
Yeah, I think it was Courtney.
It was Courtney. So Rob, you get 1 point on that question. Yeah, I mean, he didn't want to pick a side. I guess he and Courtney definitely had some friction out there. And it seemed like by the time they got to Ponderosa and they were making music videos together, maybe that relationship improved. But yeah, he threw his vote on Courtney, and Boston Rob, as we all know, called him a little man, which is now the name of the category. Mm-hmm. So Rob, you get to pick Token Jeans, not Coaching Teens, Australian Outback or Fiji.
Tocantins Australian Outback or I'll go Australian Outback.
Okay, so this is from the episode Let's Make a Deal, March 29th, 2001, 19 years ago Sunday, which is, yes, a week ago. But normally this episode, this podcast comes out a little bit later, so it's last Sunday. At the final eight, who figured he needed to win immunity in order to stay in the game and ended up pulling it out in the challenge?
Okay.
Whoa.
What are we naming?
What did he pull out?
Pulling out the win.
All right. So somebody...
Was it for peanut butter and chocolate, or...?
This is for immunity. At the final eight, who figured he needed to...
He pulled it out for immunity.
He pulled it out for immunity, yeah. So I think pulling it out is the name of this question.
I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. So I would say... I'll say Nick Brown.
Nick Brown's correct. So Rob, you get 2 points there. Great job. It really, you know, when you think about the question, who would have needed to potentially win, who was in the minority here, and it was the Kucha people. He and Roger Bingham were the only two male Kucha members. I said he. Jerry gets voted out here, but it could have definitely been Nick if he didn't win immunity. It probably would have been. You never really know. It's like a long time ago, but the editing did show that Nick was in big trouble, and he does go next. So, Rob, you have a 3-0 lead over
Haley. What was the challenge?
What a shock.
The challenge, I have no idea what the challenge was.
All right. Well, hard to come up with a name.
Yeah.
I think it's... Was it Mitchell?
Hold it up.
Mitchell, yeah. Mitchell was tall.
Was he like 7 foot or something?
7 feet, yeah.
Yeah.
You should ask me a question. Who was the tallest?
He was not a little man.
Is Mitchell still the tallest survivor? I think
it's between him and Uncle Cliffy. Yeah.
I feel like Cliff is like 6'11".
Why don't we look that up? Cliff Robinson height.
Yeah.
Robin, this is great podcasting, I know.
Yeah. I don't think Mitchell is 7 feet.
Is he not?
I thought he was. Two meter eight. That I don't know what that is.
That could be like anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. I have no idea.
Okay. I should know that because I'm Canadian, but I don't. I in feet.
No, you know I'm bad at math.
He's 6'10".
Okay, so I guess Cliffy is taller. What about Scott Pollard? I mean, he's...
Well, we're going to look that one up next.
I don't think he's that tall.
Scott Pollard. Mm-hmm. 8 feet. He's 6'11".
Oh, 6'11".
Wow.
Yeah.
Scott Pollard. Tallest survivor. So
Mitchell from Survivor.
Rob, who was the tallest survivor on your season?
He's 7 feet. Sorry.
Oh, 7. He nailed it.
That sounds right to me. So, Mitchell. Yeah.
Congratulations.
I don't stand beside him.
Congratulations. Okay. Who was the tallest survivor on my season? I think it was Alex Bell, I would say.
That's what I would have guessed.
How tall is he?
7 feet.
No, that's not
true. I have no idea. 6'4".
Really?
How tall are you,
I don't
Rob?
Know. I have no idea. I'm 5'10.
You don't know how tall
no,
you are?
No, I know how You're tall I am. I know how tall I am. I don't know how tall
how
Alex
tall
Bell
am
is.
I? Do you know how tall I am?
I'll say 5'5".
5'3". I'm very small.
Oh. I usually see you sitting.
I have big feet, but a tiny body, so I'm very like stable.
Oh, that's good.
I don't blow over easy in a windstorm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Jordan.
Yes.
All right, we got 2 questions left.
Yes, we do. And this is Haley's question. We have we have Token Jeans and we have Fiji. Haley, which one do you want?
I guess Token Jeans.
Okay. So we're going to go one of those coach moments from April 2nd, 2009, 11 years ago Thursday. This is the one that I actually did name. So it's going to be called Fake Idol Finds. Found the fake idol made by Steven and Taj after receiving the clue for the already found real idol on Exile Island.
How many weeks into the season was this?
I can tell you that it was before the merch.
Was it Spenny? Spencer? Was he on that season?
It was not Spencer.
He was on that season, though. Okay, yeah. I'm going to take another guess. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Rob, you have a chance to steal a point, Rob.
Who found the fake idol? Was it Joe?
It was Joe Dowdle, yes. Joe Dowdle went to Exile. He did find the fake idol that Steven and Taj made. JT was one of the fake answers there, and he actually sees the real idol. So I think that was the tricky part of this question. But Joe did find the fake one. Rob, you get another point, and you get a question here. you have a 4-0 lead. Going to Fiji, an evil thought, March 29th, 2007, 13 years ago Sunday, who became the first jury member of Survivor Fiji?
I believe it was Rocky.
Rocky Reed is correct. So you get 2 points there, and you have a 6-0 lead going into this final round. And mathematically,
I think that I've never done this before. I think we're in rarefied air.
This is, you know, let's go for this.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I've never had thrown a perfect game before.
Maybe the first perfect game. And
don't jinx it.
With no baseball going on, it's nice.
Forget the category names.
Yeah, maybe I should just go seasons for. Actually, no, I think the category names maybe help the guest. I don't know. Let's go. But we are going to go here to a final round. We're still playing the final round. Yeah. And
especially when you can name, when they're named fake idol, fine. I mean, well, I think that,
they can't all be winners. Coaching teams would have been better, but that was not a coach question, so it didn't matter.
Yeah. I'm going to call that Rocky question first jurors.
I mean, it's possible that that would have been the actual name of the question. It's usually, as you can tell, usually the last thing I do on my notes. And it's not usually the thing that I put the most thought into. Mm-hmm. So this time I didn't even do it. But yeah, first jurors, let's go. It's Rocky Reed. So we're going to go now to our final round. Our final round is going to be all about Wendell, who was voted off in this episode. So Rob, I've heard that you like this type of final round. We're going to go true or false. I don't have 10 of these questions, so it's not as long as the other true or false competition that you did on Friday night.
Get my cards ready. Okay.
You know what? This game. So mathematically, Haley, as you know, you can't win the quiz. So I think, do you want to make it fun? Do you want to get a piece of paper? I'll give you each the questions. You have to write true or false.
I would love nothing more than to make this fun. I just doubt your ability to be able to. I think your mouth is writing checks.
Garden, yeah.
I think I'm fun. I'm pretty fun.
I didn't say you're not fun. Marker.
Hey, yeah. I was voted back into a sequester game by an audience of two million people.
Not gonna lie, I voted for Melissa. I'm sorry, man.
That's fair. She got more votes than I did.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you win?
Because two people got in. But I was only like 3% behind her. Tyler was a little bit.
You were pretty close. I did notice that.
Oh, are you talking about Melissa or Mel?
Oh, I'm talking about Mel.
Yeah.
Who's wait, I thought Melissa. What?
No, Melissa was not in the. She was dragged. Meech dragged her.
I heard.
Spoiler alert. Okay. All right. Back to the part where you're going to make this fun.
Okay, I'm making this fun. You guys are going to write down your answers, either true or false. You're going to hold it up when I say go. So let's not even.
Wait. I'm sorry. I don't have my.
And yes, while we're on video, don't forget the majority of people are going to be listening to this as a podcast.
Okay, I'll read your answers. I'll let the podcast people know. Okay, so we're going to go to the first question here. You can each get points on these questions. Number one, Wendell and his buddy Dominic were on the same tribe for the entire game. True or false?
Okay.
You may show. You both say false. That is correct. You each get points. Wendell spent one vote on the newly formed Yanuya, while Dom was always on Navidi.
I believe that is factually incorrect.
Is that factually incorrect?
Yeah, they were swapped for more than one vote.
Are you sure about that?
I'm confident, yes.
Okay.
I'm not.
Who has,
nor will I.
Who has 7 points?
Because Wendell never went to Final Tribal Council. Wendell never went to Tribal Council.
I believe he did go to Final Tribal Council.
He never went to Tribal Council.
Yes,
on Yanuya.
Yes.
So number two, when Wendell gave up his spot on the Family of Reward to go to Ghost Island, he received Eric Reichenbach's immunity necklace that was given to Natalie Bolton. True or false? You may hold up your answers. We got two falses. False is correct. Wendell already had the necklace from earlier in the game. He was given Malcolm's challenge advantage, but he still lost the challenge to Dom. You each get a point. Number three, Wendell voted in the minority at his first ever tribal council. True or false? Wendell voted in the minority at his first ever tribal council. You could hold it up. You both say true. You're both correct. That was the Morgan Rickey vote where he voted for Angela. And number four, Wendell never received a vote the entire game until the final tribal council. True or false? And you may hold up your answer. You both say false. You're both correct. Wendell received votes of three different tribal councils, including three at the final eight when Chelsea went home. So very good job. You did. You each did a great job on these answers. I believe you got all the questions right. So Rob, you get a total of 10 points. Haley, Rob, you get 10 points. Haley, you get 4 points. Highest scoring game in the history of Twitch.
The trivia fans love offense, Haley. They love scoring. They want to open the game up. All right, there we go. Another great job, Jordan, on this week in Survivor history. Hey, Jordan, do you have any other questions for Haley?
Yes, I do. Haley, who is the first Survivor you followed on Twitter?
Survivor winner, right?
Is Survivor winner, yes.
I want to say that because I'll go on and unfollow people if they're not like bringing the heat. I want to say the oldest winner I'm currently following or whatever first, I think it's Kim.
Mm-hmm. Kim Spradlin. Good job. Yeah. You mentioned being a big Kim Spradlin fan. You also mentioned being a big Jeremy fan, and he was the second person, the second winner you followed on Twitter.
Yeah. I think those are the only, I don't know. Oh, do I not follow Tyson anymore? I guess not. I don't know.
Tyson's not bringing the heat.
No, he is. I don't know what happened. I do want to talk about Tyson's new display picture on Twitter, which I love, and it makes me cackle.
Yes, what is that? Funny. What is Tyson's new picture on Twitter?
So I saw it on Twitter like last week or something. Somebody made a balloon animal of, I have not seen the movie, but I do think it's Elsa from Frozen.
Mm-hmm. When Tyson was hurt for Halloween?
No, it's just I thought it was the joke was that it just looked like Tyson, which it kind of does. It made me laugh. This is very hard.
Yeah.
The first time I saw the tweet and then when I saw Tyson change his profile picture to it, like it made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly hard. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, let's see. Somebody did a balloon animal of Elsa and Tyson said, this is me. I do think he was Elsa for Halloween one year.
Interesting.
So he's already on the Elsa bandwagon.
I will say Kim Spradlin's also a pretty good follow on Instagram too. She's been showing off her newly redesigned house, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
How does it compare to your Sims house?
Oh, it's way better, obviously. In my free time, I've been watching a lot of like. You're right. He did dress up as Elsa a couple weeks or this past one. Can I put it in our chat? He looks beautiful, actually.
Yes.
What was I saying? What was I talking about?
You were talking about Kim Spradlin's house.
I've been watching a lot of Property Brothers lately, so I'm very into home renos right now. Obviously. Mm-hmm. So that's that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Haley, anything else you want to talk about with the listeners?
I don't think so. If you want to hear me talk for hours on end with some other really great people, you can check out the Top Chef podcast. We record every Saturday. So if you have questions for that, send them along. If you're not watching Top Chef, you should A, watch it. B, listen to the podcast anyway. That's how I started listening to Top Chef podcast. I didn't watch the show. I just listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can check out my blog, strongtakes.ca. I've been trying to post more over there. Some of the things like what TV shows I've been watching in this weird time that like make me feel good about myself. What I've been making lately, because I do like to cook. So I've been kind of posting with that.
Yeah, anything good that you're making?
It depends on your version of good. I made a really great carrot cupcake last week from The Joy of Cooking, which is a really wonderful cookbook. And if you don't own it, you probably should buy it from your local bookstore. What else have I made? I don't know. Lots of stuff. Check out my Instagram at @hstrong_, same as Twitter. And then you can see all the pictures of what I'm making as well. So check those out. Follow me. Tweet at me.
All right.
You like me.
There you go. Of course.
Don't tell me you don't like me. Just don't.
There's no need for that. Okay.
Again, I'm very soft.
And Jordan, what about you?
Still doing the same stuff. I have not really left my house much for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. And I am.
Are you doing okay? I feel like that the not doing the categories, I feel like, is a sign that maybe something's wrong.
I think it's the sign that I played a very stressful 6-hour game on Friday night.
Is that what it is?
I usually make the categories like the day of the podcast, and I think maybe just other things were on my mind. I mean,
Haley, does this sound right to you? That I mean, the This Week in Survivor History quiz is Jordan Kalish's baby. I mean, it's the highlight of his week every week, and then all of a sudden he's not even making the categories. He forgot to make the categories for his baby.
Am I the right person to be asking about this? Because I come to every podcast just horrifically unprepared, as we've seen tonight.
It would be like if you just forgot to show up for the podcast.
Well, that's not true. How is that the same as showing up for the podcast?
It would be more like if I showed up for my bachelor podcast and like didn't watch the episode.
Yeah, it would be similar to that.
So maybe I should try that one time.
I don't know. I'm worried about you, Jordan.
I'm all right. I'm doing fine.
I will say, Jordan, I do like you just saying what season the question is from. I feel like then people can get, pick the season that they think they know the best.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't really change much about the game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like I forgot to write the questions. That would be bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. So we still have to get to the Wiggle Room on Monday, where the Wand Off will be back. Haley, are you a Wand Off person?
Yeah, I like it. Do I think it's ridiculous? Like, absolutely. But do I laugh the whole time? Yes. It's just so ridiculous. Like, I love it. It's just some of the people in this community are so wonderful and creative. And it's nice to have a show that's just pure, like uppers, I guess. Like, I don't know.
There's uppers. No downer. Whoa.
There's no downer about the Wiggle Room.
Yes. Okay. There you go. So we'll be back on Monday with that. Of course, the great podcast with Christian and Malcolm as well this week. So check those out if you miss them before we get to Wednesday. And then we've got a lot going on. On Monday night, we'll have our patron pub trivia. Haley, did you check that out this week?
No, but I'm going to.
Okay. Patron pub trivia.
Is it Zach Brooks?
Zach Brooks, yeah.
I love Zach Brooks.
He's the trivia master. Sorry, Jordan. He's the pub trivia master.
I mean, he had 10 different categories for all of his questions. So maybe he is. But as far as trivia about Survivor history on Rob Has a Podcast, no one takes my crown, baby.
Okay, all right.
Except for maybe Mary Kwiatkowski, who had to write the questions once last season.
Okay. 9 Eastern. We're going to do it live in the patron group coming up on Monday. I turned that into a podcast as well on Monday night. So we had a great time last week. Do it again on Monday night with the patrons. And of course, I announced the other night that this month that we want to give people it's a great time to be part of this patron community, that it's a great way to connect with the other Survivor fans, especially at a time where we're social distancing. And what we're trying to do is that we're going to have it be for a good reason, for a great chance for you to try to become a patron right now. And then also we're going to donate 100% of the proceeds from the new patrons to PPE charities for personal protective equipment for our doctors and our nurses. We're working with an organization called directrelief.org. This is their specialty, getting personal protective equipment to healthcare providers in our country. So we've had over 200 new patrons come on board here in the month of April, and I'm going to be matching those contributions from the new patrons. So it's a really great cause, and we've gotten a lot of support for this so far. So you can head over to robiswebsite.com/patron. It's a great time to get on board as we are here with the month of April going through everything with Survivor Winners at War. Thank you guys so much for watching. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.